Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here and be with you to be able to share what is happening in the jungles, on the borders of Colombia and Venezuela. The greatest thing that happened to me in my life is when Jesus Christ became a person. When I opened up the Gospel of John and I was reading that Christ was concerned for me as an individual. I'd always had a fear of God, that God is just and God is going to punish me because of my bad doings. And as a young person, I attempted so many times to reform my life. But it wasn't until one evening when I was in my bedroom, terribly upset, which I couldn't complete that which I wanted to produce in my own life, that I felt the Spirit of Jesus Christ constraining me to Himself. And the cry that came into my heart, I wanted to believe in this Christ and know the forgiveness of my own corruption, the forgiveness of my sin. And here I found in this praying with the Lord Jesus a sweetness of spirit that came upon my room. And I confessed with Him that He did die for my sin. And I prayed that I would be resurrected in His newness of life. And this was a thrill, a peace that came upon my heart. And this initiated a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that was revolutionary in my own life. Now, instead of being fearful of God, God was my friend. But as I was reading the scriptures, Paul was starting to reveal to me what his motivation was as living a life as a Christian. That he wants to be conformed to the image of Christ and that Christ's compassion should be taken upon his life. And pretty soon as I was reading this and praying meditation to the Lord, I feel that God's Spirit is constraining me also as a young person to realize that there are peoples in this world that have never had the gospel, that which has become so precious to me. And at this time I was praying, well, what is my profession going to be? What am I going to do with my life? Is it going to count for something for me? Something that I want to consume for myself? Or am I going to follow this Jesus Christ that Paul followed, who has such a reality that can change a life and put you in peace with God and assurance? The Lord was speaking in my heart, and I believe definitely He was leading me that I should go to South America. And I prayed over the countries of South America, and God definitely put on my heart a burden for Colombia and Venezuela, two countries. It was in 1961 that I left the United States and I arrived in Maicatia, the international airport of Venezuela. I had no conception of Spanish. I studied in the dead languages. I had no friend in Venezuela. I didn't know where I was going. I was terribly troubled as I got off the airplane. All the people speaking Spanish, it was 11 o'clock in the evening time. I went to the Pan American desk and spoke English, but the English-speaking staff was gone. And I was in the direct realization that I had left my country. I was all by myself. Now, what is going to happen? I spoke to a Roman Catholic priest in Latin who interpreted for me into Spanish and told it back to me in Latin, and I was arranged to a hotel in Maicatia. While I was in this hotel, I had with me $72, and I knew nobody there. There was a Greek woman who spoke a few words of English. And I'd walk in the streets of Maicatia, and I'd see the children playing, and I wish I could speak, just understand what they're talking to me, attempting to tell me. I'd go in my hotel room, I threw myself in my bed, and I just cried by myself, and I prayed, oh God, God, where's this peace that I had known in Jesus Christ before I left the United States? And when I got into my scriptures, and I prayed and reorientated what God was doing in my life, the warmth of His Spirit was there, transcended the situation that I was in, and I knew I had walked right. In a marvelous sequences, I got to Caracas, was given employment when I spent my last U.S. currency. And while I was in Caracas, I went to the library. I was studying with the university there. And a man came in and threw a paper on the table. I opened up the paper and said, Motilon Indians attack oil company installations. 3 dead, 16 wounded. And I thought, well, what a contrast in the 20th century. And I read the article. Then I looked up the name Motilon in the archives in the library there, and I found out the Motilons were discovered by Alonso de Ojeda 400 and some odd years ago, who was one of the conquerors that opened up the northern coast of South America to the Spanish conquest or the Spanish discovery. Then I see the Motilon Indians were called thus because they have short hair. Simon Bolivar, who liberated 5 of our great South American countries, founded the capital of these great countries on the border of Motilon territory. And the capital was moved to Bogota, Colombia, because it was snipered out literally by the Motilon Indians. We find that 2 oil companies attempted to penetrate their territories over 20 years ago, and they had over 500 oil company employees shot by these Indians. And as I was reading this history, God's voice started speaking to my heart that this is where I'm sending you. This is your place of service. And I said, well, Lord, they don't want anybody there. I respect that. But you know, the still soft voice of the Lord was working in my heart. That's where your place of service is to be. And so I left the capital city of Caracas, Venezuela. I traveled to Yuko Indian territory, where I made contact with the Yuko Indians. And I was living with the Yuko Indians, believing that they were the northern Motilones, or that they were the more pacifist of the Motilone tribe. But after speaking their language, living with them, I got to the zone of Socomba, and I spoke to one of the chieftains, and he said, no, the people who live to the south of us, the territory that I wanted to penetrate, why, those are Machactubumbues, the people of oil. The Motilone Indians, thus called by the Spaniards because of their short hair, are called Machactubumbues by the Yukos. They're not our people. They collect natural oil from the seepages in the ground, and they use it to cure their woods with. To construct their arrows also, they use this oil. So traveling with the Yukos, finally I came to a small settlement where there are three Yuko youths who knew where there's a large Motilone home. The Yukos and Motilone would war together. The Yukos didn't want to penetrate to Motilone territory because they had just had a battle. However, I prevailed upon them. I ripped the pearl buttons off a shirt that I had. The Yukos wear a tunic that goes from their neck down to the ground. Ripped these pearl buttons off my shirt and tied it on a zipper. I made a very curious-looking necklace, and for the price of the necklace, they'd take me into Motilone territory, and they'd bring me to a mountain ridge where I could see where there was a large Motilone communal home. Then they'd collect the necklace and take off. So we were walking out of the high Andes mountains where the Yuko Indians lived to come into the foothills of the Andes where the Motilones were. We were walking 6 days. It was coming into the seventh day, and we hear the shouting of the macaws overhead, the chattering of the monkeys. These were all strange sounds to me, really. But the Yuko stopped, and he said, I hear a strange sound. Well, strange sound, they're all strange to me, as I noted. But what was that strange sound? He heard someone else in the jungles. They weren't seen. And in several seconds, there came an array of arrows just jetting through the jungles. They were frightened. The Yukos dropped their bows and arrows and ran. They were my guides, and so I ran behind them. And then I got tangled in the vines, and I fell on the jungle trail. And as I fell on the trail, an arrow lodged in my leg, a 5-foot arrow. Then there was silence. The Yukos had disappeared. The Motilones were also silent. In about 5 minutes, some 15 Motilones came bleeding through the jungles and encircled me. I spoke to them, Yuko Atnapachuatnaka Achope. I come from far. I want to be a friend. But the Motilone has never contacted the Yuko on a friendly basis. They don't speak the same language. The Yukos are the Carib language family, whereas the Motilones, we have never known what language family they're from. They didn't understand Spanish. Speak to them. I spoke to them in Spanish. They were amused. There was arguing among them. There were hard words. They unloaded their bows and arrows. Then one elderly man came and looked at me. And piercing to my eyes, I just pled with him. I remember reading the Proverbs 21:1 that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And I prayed, well, if this be the case, that God would touch this man's heart. Then he took his bow and arrow and pulled it back. Another Indian, whose name is Arabadoika, came and had hard words with him. He unloaded his bow and arrow and then came to me and took the arrow that was in my leg and pulled it out. Jabbed another arrow in my back that I should stand. I stood, and we started walking now for 7 hours. We're to walk to come to this large Motilone communal home. 7 hours walking up one of the mountain ranges. They build their homes always on the summit of the mountain range. Entering one of the small doors of this home with these warriors, the women inside the house were frightened. They abandoned the home. I thought of anything entering the small door of the home, I should be frightened, but the women were more frightened. The Motilones believe traditionally, now that I speak their language, that the civilized people, that they are cannibals. But the Book of Tourism in Colombia says the only cannibalistic tribe in Colombia is the Motilone tribe. They are cannibals. That's not so. We fear them for the same thing that they fear us. Nevertheless, that's beside the point. We got to the home. I was tired. I was frightened. And I just sat down on the mat there and I fell asleep. There are many experiences that I'm not going to relate to you after I have the following days of this first contact, other than the natives. Some of them were, well, they would stab me with their arrows, and they'd be a delight when I'd jump and show signs of pain. But there's another Indian who always come to my rescue. How do you learn a language of a people who've never spoken before? This is one of the problems. How am I going to communicate with them? How am I even going to exist when they bring to you, after 4 days of being there, not having eaten anything, finally somebody brought me some food. They were 4-inch long grub worms, about an inch thick, and they're crawling on the leaf. Well, one of the Motilone child very excitedly grabs a worm and sucks it. The head pops off, all insides are out, so all outs are in, they're licking their chops. That's good. But how do you reach down and pick up that worm and pull it up and eat it? But when you're hungry, you start doing this. You have to if you're going to keep body and soul together. How do you eat a monkey that's been roasted over the fire? These are hard things. And then this also causes digestive problems because these are foods you're not too used to. Then there's that language element. The natives would come up to me and speak at long length. Well, I remember one phrase that they were speaking to me, basically, and I wrote that down, the five by three card, said, Baiki tu sabaina. And so I went to an Indian. He looked down at the ground to me, and he said, Baiki tu sabaina. Well, I wrote that in my car, and I went to him, and I said, Baiki tu sabaina, looking down like he looked at me. And he answered, Wakaba. And I said, well, Baiki tu sabaina wakaba, to a second Indian, and he answered, aha takarida. Well, this was a response, so I started... So I was keeping track of this card, and I was just hoping that I'd hear this phrase used again. I got a response. It's the only time that they really responded to me when I try to mimic them. Later, I was to see a small child walking around the inside of the home. He had his little feet inside my oversized shoes, and he's looking down at my feet and said, Kitu sapaina naihi. Well, it's the same phrase. He was talking about my feet, I was later to find out. Since I have shoes, I don't get thorns in my feet. So he said, you have good feet. Then when I went to him, you have good feet? He said, not, because he gets thorns in his feet. His feet hurt from the thorns. Well, I got the word for good, the word for foot, the qualitative verb of being. And here, little by little, I was getting some of the idea of the language. Finally, when I can tell the Indians that I'm hungry and I'd like to eat a banana, well, I had a cold one day, and that lowered my voice tone, and they brought me an axe. I said, I want another banana, they brought me another axe. Well, then I noticed, when I pinched my nose and said the word for banana, it raised the tone, and they brought me bananas. So I find out we have an element of tone, tone. We have an element of tone. You can say the word obaina by changing the tone, and it means three different distinct things. Now it says in the scriptures, there any of you that lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And that is definitely what I sought of God. I can't even sing row, row, row your boat in the shower, more or less hit the right tone in trying to speak a language, and that tone is going to give the meaning to the word that I'm trying to express. Now, as we're in the translation of the New Testament, you can say, I know the way of life, or I do not know the way of life, or he went through the ground by just changing one tone on one word. Now, this is something serious. But I was catching the language, and I was more or less understanding now. The natives were speaking about a chieftain whose name was Abaratatura. And so I prevailed upon them, I want to meet this chieftain who lives in the high mountain regions, Abaratatura. They said, no, it's too far away to go. I prevailed on them, I want to go there. I felt in my heart that I should go there. We started walking the trail. We were walking for 4 days. The Motilones will walk 10 hours a day on the trail. 40 hours we were walking. Is it far now to the trail? The Motilone said, no, it's quite a ways yet. We're going to be a far walk. The Motilone Indians say the shortest distance between two points is just a straight line. It can be straight up one mountainside and straight down the other side. But they never accommodate the trail to go around the mountain or to go around up a difficult pass. Here with the big clumsy shoes, I couldn't tuck my feet in the rocks like they were, but I could grab onto the vines and the tree roots to pull myself up this one mountainside. It's always comforting to know that there's a Motilone below me pushing me up. But why was this Motilone tolerating me so? That's what I really couldn't understand. They were tolerating me, really. Here I was, this big civilized man, going to help the native. I was going to evangelize the Motilone, but here I didn't know what roots are edible. I didn't know how to walk on the trail. I have to learn a language, and I made a fool of myself so many times attempting to learn their language. Why is it that they're tolerating me? These things were going through my mind, but I kept walking along the trail, and then I thought, well, why is it that I've come to the Motilones here, they shot me in the leg with an arrow, I'm eating all these strange foods, why am I here? And I'm to be orientated once again, of course, I've gone because Christ is to be working through our hearts, we're to be his extension, we're to take the compassion of Christ upon us. Now Christ looked on the fields that were whitened to harvest, and he wept for them, he said, here were the sheep without a shepherd. The Motilones are part of humanity. As I had gone to the Motilone Indians, I've gone there now to live with them, to understand their way of life. But what am I going to serve them in? How am I going to communicate the gospel to them that it will be understandable and meet the need in their heart? But what is the need that they have in their heart? I didn't even know this. At this time, we're to keep in fellowship with the Lord in prayer. I was praying, and we're continuing walking along the trail. The Motilone Indians have to climb up one mountainside. Here I saw them walking across a log. And so I jumped up on the log like all the Motilones did, and I fell off the log, and then I looked down, and I saw the log spraying a precipice that was about a 40-foot drop down to jagged rock. And from one side of the precipice to the other side was at least 30 feet. The log was slippery with moss. The Indian smiled. Then Arabadoika said, take your shoes off and hit your foot down the log hard. And so I took my shoes off and hit my foot down hard on the log, and the moss that was slippery held on to my feet. And then I slapped down my other foot hard and held on to that foot. Then Arabadoika said, look at the back of my head and follow walking behind me on the log. And so I did, stamping my feet down hardly, firmly. The moss held on to my feet. I kept my balance by orientating my sight on him. Getting to the other side of the log, I had to look down to see what I had passed over. And as I looked down, I started losing my balance. And then the Motilone Arabadoika grabbed my hand and pulled me to safety. But I thought, so in our Christian life, we are to believe God's promises. We're to walk faithfully. We're to walk heavily on God's promises. and we're to focus our eyes in on Jesus Christ. And I found I had gone to South America as a missionary, but I got my eyes off Jesus Christ, and I was wondering all these situations, but I was to realize that Christ had sent me to the Motilones, but I must keep my fellowship up with Him. And here God is communicating to me through a physical happening. Keep your eyes on Christ and believe God's promises as given in the Scriptures. We continued walking along the trail, but I had bad chest pains. I started vomiting. I was dehydrated. I'd drink water at every stream. My mouth would go dry. About the 10th evening, Rabadoika put his hands on my shoulder and said, "Bruchko, you have yellow eyes." Yellow eyes, chest pains, dehydration is indicative of a hepatitis. We're 10 days on the trail. If I walk back, if I get back to civilization, it'll be 10 days walking to the home of Otakaida, 5 days building a raft, and 4 days floating down river in the raft. Now, Paul says our reasonable service to the Lord Jesus Christ as His children, as His followers, is to offer ourselves to Him. Now, the Lord said, "I'll be with you even until the end of the world," even until the end. Is this true or is it not true? I pray that God would heal my body. But I didn't improve. We continued walking the trail. The 13th day, the Motilones had to carry me. The 14th day, we approached the home of Aparatatur, and he himself came out of this house with his bow and arrow in hand. He said, "Drop the civilized man, for I'll destroy the cannibal before he destroys us with the magical flute." Arabatuke came and stood between Aparatatur and myself. He said, "You can't destroy him because he's dying of a disease. The Motilones will never kill an animal, nor destroy a human being that is dying of a disease, because if they do, they believe a taboo will be put on their arrow, and then when they go hunting, their arrow will break in mid-flight, and they will starve to death. So Aparatatur would not want a taboo on his arrows, because if a taboo would go on his arrows because he killed a dying man, his people would starve to death, and he would have been a bad chieftain." I didn't realize that at the moment, but here God is revealing something to the Motilones through their interpretation. God is dealing with them on their level. So I was brought inside the home, and now I was praying definitely that God would touch my body. I could see why He used disease. He saved my life through this disease. And I lay in the hammock, and I was wasting away. God didn't heal my body. Coming into about the second week, the pain of hepatitis is terrible. I couldn't eat a thing. I couldn't even lift my hands up to my face any longer, and I thought death was imminent. And I thought death also would be a beautiful escape to leave the reality that I was in. It was at that time that Motilone came into the home. He said, "Uranaha ikiaramina." There's a sound of a ooh. It's coming near our home. The legend teller said, "Well, that ooh, that's the traditional magical flute that consumes our people. It's of the cannibal nation." The Motilones were frightened. They abandoned the home that I was in. Arabadoika helped me out of the hammock that I was laying in and placed me alongside this large communal home. Then the sound became louder, and he also was frightened. So he abandoned the jungles. He abandoned the home and went into the jungles. But he was watching what was happening. I focused my eyes into the mountain range as the sound became louder, and a helicopter passed the mountain range, and it came over where I was. The helicopter hovered over the home that I was in. It caught glimpse of me, came and lowered in that clearing. The man who got out of the helicopter was Dr. Hans Baumgartner, with whom I worked in 1961 vaccinating Maikiritari Indians. He was on vacation. He went to the Shell oil installation in the Catatumbo, and the pilot of the helicopter was a friend of his, and the helicopter was not being used that day, and he wanted to take pictures. He said, "Wouldn't it be interesting if we could take pictures of the Motilone Indians with his new telephoto lens? He could take them up to Caracas and show them off." He flew over the home that I was in. I was taken to the hospital. The doctor said I would be in treatment for at least 6 months in convalescence for a good year, and you wouldn't be able to return to the jungles. At 3 weeks' time, I left the hospital, and the fourth week, I walked back into the jungles. Now, we're not to tempt God. That's not what I'm doing. We're not to tempt God. We're to know His voice. We're to know how He works in our lives. The Hebrews have a beautiful conception that we walk into the future backwards. That's a beautiful saying. The Motilones have the saying too. By God's faithfulness in the past, we know that God will continue to be faithful through the future, and we know God's voice from past experiences. And so knowing God's voice, we walk back into the jungles. As I approached Aparatatura, he met me with great awe. The Motilone says that life is language. When a person dies, his language leaves the body. And then they take the dead person and tie his body in the hammock so that the vultures will consume the dead person. But if a person dies in territory that's foreign to him, his language will be lost in the jungles, and he cannot get beyond the horizons to where God lives. They interpreted that this helicopter coming out of the mountain ranges was God's vulture to consume the civilized man so he would not die in their territory. Now, as I returned to the Motilone Indians, God had also shown something else to them, that this person is unique. And they received me now, pleased to see me. because they said his life was preserved by God to live with us. I didn't know what was happening. In fact, I was afraid when I was walking back to Abarata to it because I thought, well, this time he will come out and shoot me. But he didn't. God communicated something else to him. Now, Christianity is not the destruction of a social system. Christianity is not telling the Motilones they shouldn't eat grubworms and telling them not to roast monkey meat. In fact, the Motilones don't even cook their food with salt, and it's not teaching them how to cook their food with salt. Christianity is knowing God through Jesus Christ, Him crucified, the hope of glory. Our orientating ourselves with God through Jesus Christ. So how am I going to communicate this to the Motilone? Am I to go there and say the witch doctors are of the devil and I have medicine and I'll cure everybody so I'll become a great leader? Is that the object of Christianity? Or is it to get the natives to sit in a pew? That's not it neither. So what is Christianity in this case? As I was traveling with one of the witch doctors, we came to the home of Korokaira, and there was an epidemic of conjunctivitis. All their eyes were swollen closed. And so the witch doctor was singing incantations for over 12 hours to cure their eyes, but did not help. Their eyes were not improving whatsoever. So I called the witch doctor and I said, I have a little bit of terramycin. Put this in their eyes. No, you're a Mugbara, you're not of our people. So I was put in my place. I certainly wasn't. I didn't know the poisonous root from the sweet roots, the edible roots. I didn't know how to walk on the trails. I was learning to speak their language. I was the misfit there. Well, why is that terramycin? If you don't know what to eat, you don't know how to hunt, why is terramycin going to help us? You're a Mugbara. So I took my fingers and rubbed them in the eyes of an Indian and then put in my own eyes. In 4 days, I had a good case of conjunctivitis. So I called the witch doctor and said, O Samba Shini Nahi, my eyes hurt, help me. The witch doctor was a friend. So the witch doctor sang incantations, but my eyes didn't improve. About the fifth day, I told the witch doctor, since you said I'm a Mugbara, not of your people, take this Mugbara medicine, terramycin, and put it in my eyes with a new incantation. And so the witch doctor did. And only 4 days, the witch doctor cured my eyes. Elated. The witch doctor then went and sang the same incantation, the new song, to all the other people, but didn't cure one eye. Then I consulted once again with the witch doctor in the late evening. You cured my eyes with that new song and terramycin. So the witch doctor took terramycin and put in all their eyes with a new song and cured everybody's eyes. And that the same day, in 4 days, they were all cured. And the people said, what wonderful witch doctor we have. But then the witch doctor said, what a good friend Bruchko is, my name in Motilone. Because a new thing has come in. An innovation was brought in by the witch doctor. Now, the witch doctor continues to be their leader. If I go in as a Christian to destroy the functioning of the witch doctor, who's going to punish in their society for breaking moral ethics? I'd be destroying a system without even having presented them with Jesus Christ. I was traveling with the same witch doctor to come to the home of Echerrinda Kaida. I've been with the Motilone Indians now for 4 years. The Motilones, they do not have intoxicated beverages. The Motilones do not have vices such as we have. They don't even use the marijuanas. They don't use any of the, what do you call them? I forget in English. They don't have hallucinatory drugs. They do not have, they don't practice in what we call the deceptions of our civilization. They don't even know what prostitution is. They don't know what it is, homicide among their people. And as I was with them, I was wondering, well, what is this that Jesus Christ wants to do with the Motilones? I find a society functioning in such good continuity. But then I know that Christ also beholds the Motilones and sees something within them that they're in search of. I was traveling to the home that I mentioned, I believe it was Charinda Kaira, with one of the witch doctor friends. And here, as we were walking through the mountain regions, we heard these excruciating shouts in the valleys. We deviated from our trail, and here was to meet one of our Motilone chieftain who was a dear friend of mine. This Motilone, to show the powerful man that he was, had killed a jaguar with his bow and arrow, and he had taken the eye teeth out of a jaguar, having made himself a necklace. Now, the same Motilone chieftain who I went on the hunt with him when he killed that jaguar, he now was in the jungles. He had dug a hole that was 6 feet deep, and the hole was 4 feet wide, and he had been shouting the hole since early morning. It was 5 o'clock in the evening. Now, shouting that hole, God, 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 come out of the hole. God, come out of the hole. What is happening? I asked the witch doctor. His other brother was up in the trees, pulling the leaves off the trees, eating the leaves of the trees to identify with the horizon, to bring God to them. Why, my brother died, he said. The witch doctor commented. His brother had died. His language was lost in the jungles because he died in territory that was foreign to him. Why, the Motilones knew who God was in the beginning, he said. But then a spirit came and told them to follow me. I'll bring you to the better hunting ground. And so the Motilones, traditionally, they say in their legends, left God to get the better hunting grounds, and their people started to die, and their languages became lost, and they lost contact with God. Now this Motilone brother had died in the territory that he was not native of. His brother was looking for his language.
That's how life is passed from father to child, through the naming of their children by the names of their grandparents. He was looking to bring this language back so he could give life to his grandchildren, but there was no God from that hole. I've been living with the Motilones, and I had never seen something that shook me as much as this. There was a need in the Motilones' heart. Now, I want to communicate the gospel. How do I do it? I can ask for a banana. I know the difference between an axe and a banana. I've learned that. I know how we have a tonal language with three tonal registers. How do I get the word, though, gospel, the word for grace, salvation, sacrifice? How am I going to explain the gospel? I walked away there in very heavy of heart. I'm 4 years in the jungles. 4 years. Why, if I was a conventional missionary, I should be coming home on furlough. So, very upset. I arrived at the home. The people in the home were silent over what I recounted, the experience that I saw there. Then Cobaidrano, who is what I call him oftentimes the party, or la fiesta in Spanish, he's the local joker, he came up and he said, okay, I'm going to defy our legend teller. We have a legend that says there's a tall man that will walk through our territory and he'll carry a banana stock and God will come out of the banana stock. But no tall man has ever come carrying a banana stock. Then another Motilon quite dramatically went into their banana patch and cut a portion of a banana stalk and took it and placed it before me. He said, okay, the civilized man's helicopter saved your life. God intervened. You know God then. Now, I didn't know what they're talking about, a civilized man's helicopter. A vulture, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what they're trying to communicate to me, but I did hear them say, and I did understand when they said, now you take God out of the banana stock. I knew the word for God, Samaidoji, banana stock, broke Masaida, but how do I take that Samaidoji, God, out of banana stock? And another Motilon came with his machete and went, shum, cut it open. And you realize that the unborn leaves inside the banana stock fell out like pages from a book. I wept when I saw this correlation and identification with the scriptures, and I took my Bible and my New Testament, I showed it to him. I said, this is God's banana stock. And so Alberdota took and started ripping the pages out and eating the pages of my Bible to identify with God. There's a legend that says, there's a legend that the Motilones have that Ajibakbaider went out hunting with his chieftain. And while he finished the hunt, Irvin, who was waiting for his chieftain to return back, that he should come back to the village with his chieftain. But as he was sitting down on the jungle floor, here he saw some ants making an anthill. So he attempted to help these ants build an anthill, and he started shoving together the earth. As he shoved together the earth, the ants were frightened, and they ran away. He thought, well, now when they come back, since they're so stupid, I want to help them, I'll just stamp them out with my big, heavy foot. The ants started coming back to continue construction of the anthill, and he lifted up his foot to stamp them out. But Samaidoji transformed into an ant. Then the legend teller starts laughing. He says, now as an ant, he works like an ant, eats ant's food, and talks ant language. And then as he was an ant, he had many interesting episodes, but he told them at one time he had those big hands that was attempting to build that anthill to help them out. When he said this to them, they understood and realized what had happened. And it was at that time that Samaidoji transformed him back into a Motilon. Then this Motilon reached down for a second time, moving together the earth with the ants. The ants weren't frightened. They knew who he was. And this Motilon was the architect, or gave the architecture to the construction of the ant hill, because the ant hill in South America is identical to the Motilon house. It's oblong.
Quite dramatically went into their banana patch and cut a portion of a banana stalk and took it and placed it before me. He said, okay, the civilized man's helicopter saved your life. God intervened. You know God then. And I didn't know what they're talking about, a civilized man's helicopter. A vulture, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what they're trying to communicate to me, but I did hear them say, and I did understand when they said, now you take God out of the banana stock. I knew the word for God, Samaidoji, banana stock, broke Masaida, but how do I take that Samaidoji, God, out of banana stock? And another Motilon came with his machete and went, shum, cut it open. And you realize that the unborn leaves inside the banana stock fell out like pages from a book. I wept when I saw this correlation and identification with the scriptures, and I took my Bible and my New Testament, I showed it to him. I said, this is God's banana stock. And so Alberdota took and started ripping the pages out and eating the pages of my Bible to identify with God. There's a legend that says, there's a legend that the Motilones have that Ajibakbaider went out hunting with his chieftain. And while he finished the hunt early, and so he was waiting for his chieftain to return back, that he should come back to the village with his chieftain. But as he was sitting down on the jungle floor, here he saw some ants making an anthill. So he attempted to help these ants build an anthill, and he started shoving together the earth. As he shoved together the earth, the ants were frightened, and they ran away. He thought, well, now when they come back, since they're so stupid, I wanted to help them, I'll just stamp them out with my big, heavy foot. The ants started coming back to continue construction of the anthill, and he lifted up his foot to stamp them out. But Samai Doshi transformed into an ant. Then the legend teller starts laughing. He says, now as an ant, he works like an ant, eats ant's food, and talks ant language. And then as he was an ant, he had many interesting episodes, but he told them at one time he had those big hands that was attempting to build that anthill to help them out. When he said this to them, they understood and realized what had happened. And it was at that time that Samai Doshi transformed him back into a Motilon. Then this Motilon reached down for a second time, moving together the earth with the ants. The ants weren't frightened. They knew who he was. And this Motilon was the architect, or gave the architecture to the construction of the ant hill, because the ant hill in South America is identical to the Motilon house. It's oblong with trails that come in and go out. It took the intelligence of a Motilon. But I said, so God was also concerned with humanity, that God wanted to speak to man. And he sent the prophets, but you didn't listen. Here you have a prophet that spoke that God will come out of a banana stock. He has. But you don't know how to use that banana stock. And so God became invested in individually concerned with humanity. And he came reincarnate in Jesus Christ to walk our trails. The Motilon says that God has a trail that goes beyond the horizon. We search for God's trail. But you walk and walk and walk and walk and you never arrive where God is. So then we shout in the leaves of the trees. Then we search for God in the hole. But no, God has revealed himself to us. What do you know about God? And so I talk to them about Jesus Christ, that this is God's Son come to live among us. Why, they're excited. We've looked for Jesus Christ. Where can we find him? You destroyed Jesus Christ. This Motilon that shouted into the hole and said, no, I searched for him. Did you destroy Jesus Christ with your bow and arrow? Was he an oil company employee? We say that God is dead, that God is not invested in the affairs of man, that God is not concerned that the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is just excess baggage in the 20th century. Maybe you're killing Jesus Christ with your spiritual bow and arrows. The Motilon was desperate. And so another Motilon says, well, Jesus Christ died like any Motilon. What hope is there? It's true. The Motilon Indians, when they hunt the wild Danta, they shoot him. Then one of the leaders takes a knife and skins this Danta. It's a large animal, almost the size of a cow. Then they take this Danta skin and extend it over their head and on their back. Then the leader hunches down on the trail, and all the Motilons say, we can no longer see the Danta, we can no longer see our chieftain, for he's covered with the skin of the Danta. I said that Jesus Christ didn't die for prostitution, didn't die for drunkenness, didn't die because of the vices. Jesus Christ died for the Motilon sin, which was what? Deception. That he was deceived and walked from God, and Jesus Christ died for that. Why, the blood of Jesus Christ was pulled over the Motilon's deception as the skin was pulled over the Motilon's leader's back, so his warriors no longer could see his back. It was hid. The skin was pulled over. Jesus Christ, when he died, pulled his blood over our deception. The Motilon started looking down. Then he said, it's all over. There's no more hope. We're just where we started from. The banana stock never brings God to us. No, Jesus Christ rose. He rose from the dead and lived, and he presented himself to his disciples, and the multitudes, they're excited about this. It's reality. He did. It's true. And they want to know more about it. And I start talking, telling them as best as I can. And that evening, they went away. The following day, a Motilon came to me and said, Bruchko, I've tied my hammock strings into God, into Jesus Christ. Tied your hammock strings into Jesus Christ? I don't understand this. Well, the Motilons, when they sing the song during the Festival of the Arrow, they tie their hammocks 20 feet off the floor level of the home. They'll sing songs that are 12 hours long, and we have a gospel song that's 12 hours long that relates the gospel to the Motilons. They relate all their news items during this festival. The greatest news item is that Jesus walked our trail, and he died to pull his blood over our sin and resurrected. But you see, oftentimes these ropes break, and when they break after 10 hours of singing, imagine you have leg cramps, and I know several Indians that have fallen to the ground and have dislocated legs. This Motilon said, I've tied my hammock strings into Jesus Christ. I have suspended myself into God. I'm not held by his own strength into God, but he's held by God. And then the Motilon says, now I have a new language in my mouth. So when he said he had a new language, I said, well, cuéntame eso, ¿cómo es que hablas español? No, you must speak Spanish if you have a new language. No, language is life. A new life while I speak Jesus talk. I'm a Jesus person. And this Motilon was the first Christian, the first Jesus person among this nation. He spoke Christ's words now. Now he, as a person that speaks Christ's words, must speak decisive words. specially chosen words, because everything he's going to speak henceforth is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several months later, one of the Motilones came into the camp and said the tiger spoke on the trail. The Motilones were frightened. I went to the leader and I said, "Oh, I don't believe tigers can talk." They said, "Well, you don't know what roots are edible. You don't know how to walk on the trail. You're just learning Motilone." And when I said, "I don't believe tigers talk," I was shaken. And then the leader said, "I have to go out and speak with a tiger." And so the leader walked out in the jungles and spoke with a tiger. Later came back 2 hours and said that spirits will come out of the rocks and they'll consume our languages and there will be deaths this evening. And when the evil spirits come out of the rocks, Motilones die. Bobby Shota, terribly upset, the first Motilone Christian, came to me and said, "Can Jesus Christ be taken out of my mouth? Can I lose my life that I found so dear and precious to me? This reality?" I was terribly shook. I said, "You go talk to God." And I went my way and I talked to God. About 6:15 that evening, I came to reapproach the Motilone home. The atmosphere was heavy. It was static. I was nervous. As I was approaching the home here, I heard the incantations that the natives were singing. They were in their hammocks, 20 feet up off the floor, swinging back and forth in their hammocks, over 60 Motilone braves. The whole Motilone communal dwelling was swaying with their hammocks, singing the incantations. I got into one of the small doors of the home, and I saw the women on the floor of the house. They were beating the rocks together. They had their eyes closed. They were frightened, warding off evil spirits as their husbands sang the incantations. I looked for the children. The children, like a bunch of little chicks all by themselves. I could just see their outline by the illumination of a flickering fire. Then I looked for Bobri Shota. Where's the first Christian who's professed Jesus Christ? I found him hanging in a hammock, swinging back and forth like all the other braves. It was like a spear went to my own heart. I thought, it's just Christianity for our conventional countries, for the sophisticated European, the educated American. Terribly upset and nervous, I approached his hammock, but it's 20 feet off from the floor level. I started climbing up the side of the thatched roof home. I hardly had the strength to get to his hammock. And then I looked into his hammock when I got up to his level to listen, to see him. And I noticed his eyes weren't closed like all the other natives. His eyes were open. Well, that's strange. I got a little more stronger then. I wasn't shaking as badly. And then I listened to what he was singing. And he was singing that Jesus Christ is in my mouth. I am a Jesus boy. I have a new life, a new language. No evil spirit can snuff that language out of my life. I am a Jesus boy. God has filled my stomach. I am full. The Motilone word for love is I am hungry. God has filled my hunger. This is reality. He was singing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first psalm written in the Motilone language. This is true. The following day, the Motilones were commenting on what had happened, the change that had taken place, that he sang a new song. And then the Motilone chief defied him, "Come and sing in my hammock 12 hours with me. You be the leader in the song." And so Bobri Shota got in and sang about Ajibak Baidu, who was transformed into an ant. So in the same manner, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, reincarnated, lived among us, that he died for our deception. And that because he resurrected from our deception, so his blood can be pulled over our sin, as was the skin of the Danta pulled over the Motilone's leader's back. It will be hid from the sight of God, and we walk in a newness of life when we tie our hammock strings into Jesus Christ. And this Motilone leader copied the song, one phrase behind Bobri Shota, listening to every word, and the whole house said, "We believe we tie our hammock strings into Jesus Christ." Why? It is a reality. The Motilone witch doctors continue to lead their people. Now they took a clump of earth, and I put this clump of earth under the microscope, and we focused it in. They say evil spirits live in the earth and they cause death. They grab the stomachs and we die. Sure, when you put under the clump of earth under the microscope, you focus in, you can see the evil spirits. Why, they're microbes. And so the Motilone witch doctor is doing incantations to destroy those microbes that they call the evil spirits, and not one microbe die. And then we take a drop of disinfectant and put in the clump of earth, and all the microbes die. And so the witch doctor says, "We will now disinfect our homes." Child mortality, which was 65%, has been brought down to 5% of the population. Today there are 5 health centers functioning with Motilone nurses. There are 2 substations functioning with Motilone nurses that are practicing medicine now. We come to the thing of epidemics. The Shell Oil Company came across a home in Venezuela that had over 20 dead people inside. Epidemics. The Motilones believe that when a person is ill, you must bleed his body because the pain overcomes disease and the releasing of the blood, the evil spirit. So when we brought in, I talked to a witch doctor and said, "Well, we have a vaccination that is done by scratching the arm. It gives you a fever, and this fever will overcome the fever of death." And so the Motilun witch doctors, or our reformed Motilun witch doctors, or our nurses, you could call them, they went out with their vaccinations, were vaccinating the people, and they were controlling disease. The expectancy of a Motilun brave was up to 41 years of age, whereas today we have Motiluns who are up to 58 years of age in good health. We have Motilun dentists who are learning to extract teeth. Their health has been improved. The Motilun says this has all become possible because of the reality of Jesus Christ. The brother-in-law of the President of the Republic of Colombia was shot by the Motilun Indians. He asked that a Motilun would come to Bogotá and speak with him. So this Motilun was televised in Colombia, interviewed by Guillermo León Valencia, the past president of Colombia, and he says, okay, we know who the Motiluns were 10 years ago. What has happened that today your chieftains lead in agriculture? They have schools functioning, they have health centers going. And a Motilun says in very simple language, because we follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He didn't stay dead in the ground. He rose from the dead. And the President of the Republic looks down at the corner in his room. It was a blessed experience I'll never forget when we're in political turmoil in Colombia. And he knew the Motilun. He saw his brother-in-law shot by the Motilun arrow. He was at the funeral. And he looked down and he said, they have come to grasp with reality. Oh, that Christ would love us as a Motilun, was his comment. Later it was to come out the Encora, the land reform of Colombia. We've attempted land reforms. We attempted educational reforms. Reforms. He said, oh, that individual could be a changed individual. The Motilun is a changed individual. I worked with the Yuko Indians, as I had commented with you, before going to Motilun territory. And while I was living with the Yukos, I spoke of the gospel, but there's apparent no reception. I felt constrained to return back to Yuko Indian territory several years ago. And I got 4 Motiluns to accompany me. We walked now on the low hills in the Andes to come up the high Andes mountains where the Yukos live in the cold territory. Death to the Yuko is something terrible. When a Yuko Indian dies, when a family member is dying, the family will beat their bodies with sticks to identify the pain of death with that person that is dying. Then the corpse is buried under the floor of the home. And after a year's time, they dig the bones up to place them in a cave. But death is terrible. Well, we were approaching the home of Manastauri. The chieftain came out of this village running along the trail. He called me, said, Bruchko, it's been a long time since we've seen you. I have something important to say. The 4 Motiluns that were accompanying me stayed off because they didn't want to fight with the Yukos. They traditionally were enemies. They're afraid to approach Manastauri. We had no Christians among the Yukos. Then he said, something had happened among my people that I must tell you about. Well, my Yuko language was very rusty as I had been with Motiluns for 8 years. I said, you speak slowly and I will listen intently. So he spoke. He said, my sister was dying, and so death is as terrible as it is. All our brothers and sisters gathered together. We were around her deathbed. We were beating our bodies with a bat, which is our typical, which was their tradition, to identify with her death. And then she went into a coma, and we stopped, and my body hurt. My lips, I had bitten. They were bleeding. And we looked into her face. She was in agony. And then she came out of her coma, and she looked up, and she said, Brother Manastauri, come down and hear what I have to say. I saw a river that flows through a dry land where it's cool, though. And the other side of the river, there's a man calling me, come to me, come home. And I said, well, who are you? And he said, you believed on me. I'm Jesus Christ. Come home. And she said to him, brother, I'm going home to Jesus Christ. He looked down, shocked. A message was spoken there, but there's no apparent reception. It says in the scriptures that God's word will not return unto him void. There is a woman that held this in her heart who believed. And he said, we had to make a decision. Who is Christ for us? His sister saw Jesus Christ, and she went into eternity, then not with the pains of death on her face, but with the assurance that she was going home, she said. That word was never used to death. I'm going home. And he said they were all confronted with a decision. Who is this Christ of whom they have heard? They decided to believe in Christ. And so their word for belief is to walk on top of. And so they walked on top of Jesus Christ, that he will suspend them and hold them. Then they went and took their barrels of the fermented chicha and threw it over, because no longer they will show fear to the evil spirits that warded off with the chicha. Now I had come to the Yuko Indians. I'm there. Oh, we're so happy to have. We're Christians. I told them the Motilun Christians. For the first time in the history between the Motiluns and Yukos, they came together and met in love. God united them. And then a Yuko Indian went and got his tunic and placed it over a Motilun who was just wearing a loincloth. Here, put on my clothes because it's cold here. Identify with us. They were identified, and the 4 Motiluns now are with the Yuko Indians. They're teaching them from the basic Motilun New Testament. God is real. God has moved, and God has melted these hearts together. The gospel is something real. This is Christianity, then. Jesus Christ. revealed to the individual to meet his need that he might be restituted with God.